The sermon text for this morning is taken from today's first reading from the book of Acts. We must obey God rather than men. The words of our text. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So first things first this morning, let us dabble just a little bit into the context of our text, into its historical context. After Jesus' ascension into heaven, Peter and John were preaching and teaching in the temple. They were teaching the resurrection of Jesus, the Jesus being seated at the right hand of God, Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. And while they were doing this, they healed a lame beggar. Those things, strangely enough, got them arrested and hauled before the temple leaders and the authorities. They were brought before the Jewish council and asked, by what name or power are you doing these things? And very forthrightly, they said, if we're asked about a good deed done to a lame man, let us tell you that it is by the name of Jesus that this man stands before you healed. So they say it is in the name of Jesus that we are preaching and teaching and proclaiming these things. Peter and John, after a stern talking to, were warned and really commanded not to teach in the name of Jesus anymore. It was more like, don't use that man's name. Because the council couldn't begin to even bring themselves to say the name of Jesus. And Peter and John look at them and say, no, I'm sorry, we can't quit doing that. We can't quit preaching. So they were threatened again, and then they were released from custody. Peter and John went back to their friends and prayed that though the enemies of Jesus were many, there was still Herod to deal with, there was still Pontius Pilate to deal with, there were the Gentiles, there were the Jewish nation and the Jewish council, and they prayed that the Lord would look upon their threats and grant their servants to continue to speak with all boldness. Good prayer. Good prayer. This Sunday, we see Peter and John and the disciples in their second appearance before the council. The 12 were still preaching and teaching in the temple, and they were arrested for it, and they were put into the city jail. During the night, an angel of the Lord came and released them from prison and told them, go back to the temple, go back to your preaching and your teaching. And so when the Jewish council showed up for work the next morning and they were like, go get the disciples, we're going to have a good talking to with them. They went there to find them, the guards went, and lo and behold, the gates were locked, the doors were locked, but the men were gone. And then somebody comes in and somebody says, oh, those guys you arrested just yesterday, they're back in the temple. They're back in there preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. So the temple guards, rather politely, because they were getting afraid of a riot, asked the 12 to please accompany us to the council chambers. The high priest questioned them. We've told you not to preach in this man's name, and yet you filled all Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood on us. It's as if they're blind, completely blind to what they had done. You intend to bring this man's blood. Oh, they brought the blood of Jesus upon themselves. The members of the Sanhedrin had managed to convince themselves and soothe their consciences with a belief in their own innocence based on their superior position of authority and confidence that they were the ones obeying God. Full of their own authority, they must have been shocked when Peter said to them, one must obey God rather than men. In any given case, where there is a supposed conflict between man's will and between God's will, between the authority of man or the authority of God, it is true. One must obey God rather than men. And where did Peter get all this boldness? Because you remember, here's Peter. I tell you, I don't know the man. Get off my back, lady. I'm sorry. No, I don't know him. Rooster crows. Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. Where did he get all this boldness and all this confidence to go out and preach? Well, Peter's boldness comes from his encounters with the risen Jesus. He met Jesus two times in the upper room. Twice he received the peace of Jesus given to the disciples in the upper room. He was present when Jesus showed up and invited Thomas to reach out his hand and touch Jesus' wounds, the wounds in his hand and the wounds in his side. And there was a third time when they were fishing and they met Jesus on the shore. Remember, they bring the boat in, Peter jumps in the water, swims out to shore, and there's Jesus there with the broiled fish, and Peter and the other disciples meet Jesus there. And this is where Jesus asked Peter to feed his lambs. Peter also witnessed the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And he received the Great Commission and witnessed Jesus ascend. We must each understand then. Okay. So when we're looking at this, and we see Peter's seen all these things, and he's experienced all these things, and he's talked to Jesus, and Jesus has talked to him. And we have got to understand that Christianity is an evidence-based religion, right? We're not around saying, well, I think this, or I feel this. It doesn't matter what you feel. Jesus is risen from the dead. This is the evidence points to Jesus' resurrection. The 500 people seeing Jesus, 500 witnesses, many of whom they said were still alive. Jesus appearing to the 12. Jesus appearing to other people. Jesus still teaching in the time between his resurrection and his ascension. Peter's approach to this is not in an I think manner. We're looking at the testimony. We look at the Bible. There is it written. What does it say? He was stabbed with a spear in his side, and blood and water flowed. One of us who was there saw it and we're given witness to it. It's a witness testimony that Jesus was pierced with a spear and blood and water flowed from his body. Peter knows that Jesus invited Thomas to touch him. Peter knows Jesus is alive. And Peter's, he's smart enough to know the dead just don't come alive. That doesn't happen. That's not normal. These things don't normally happen. Not only did the disciples witness the empty tomb, but they witnessed the other resurrection appearances. They witnessed the rising of Jesus into heaven. And they were commissioned by the angel who suddenly appeared to them and said to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promised Holy Spirit who would bring to their minds the utterances of Jesus. The 12 and no small number of disciples had seen Jesus resurrected. With the boldness of the resurrection coursing through his will and his spirit, Peter stands before the council and proclaims, one must obey God rather than men. He then announces the mighty acts of God in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. God raised him up, whom you killed. And your action of crucifying Jesus was directly against God. And God brought to nothing the things that you did. You of the Sanhedrin won't even say the name of Jesus, but we will fill your ears with the word and the message of life in his name. The men who hid in fear of the Jews, hidden in the upper room with the doors locked, now stand boldly before them. Now they stand boldly proclaiming Christ. And what was the fundamental difference? They had seen the Lord dead. And now they had seen him alive again. And they were convinced that Jesus indeed was the promised Messiah of God. And now for a fundamental difference. While the Jewish leaders were out breathing murderous threats and violence against the disciples, what did the disciples do? Do they meet violence with violence? Do they meet force with force? No, they don't. They continue preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. They proclaim to all repentance, forgiveness of sins, and everlasting life in Jesus' name. The disciples, and make no mistake about it, you are disciples too. You are Jesus' disciples. The disciples are born again into a living hope whose foundation is in Jesus' resurrection from the dead. We all owe our blessings to the mercies of God. And the greatest blessing that we have is the promise and confidence of our own resurrection from the dead because of the forgiveness of sins won by Jesus Christ on the cross and our connection to Jesus Christ in the waters of our own holy baptism. Faith in Christ's forgiveness and faith in Christ's resurrection from the dead leads to eternal life. The gift that made the disciples, the first disciples, bold to stand in the presence of the Sanhedrin, bold to withstand against threats and trials and temptations and tribulations and persecutions, is the very same thing that enables us to be bold in Christ, preaching and teaching and understanding and believing in the resurrection of the dead. Jesus' resurrection of the dead and our own resurrection of the dead. And it is in this God-given faith that you persevere. It is in this God-given faith that makes you bold to stand faithful to Christ in this life. And even though eternal life is largely hidden from us right now, it will be fully and completely revealed to us on the last day, when body and soul together, you will be before the presence of Christ and behold His glory. It is true that like the disciples who were thrown into prison, persecuted and hauled before the leaders of this world, you too might face adversities. You might face perils and trials and temptations and tribulations. In these, your faith, which is greater worth of gold, is being refined. It is being tested and purified as you go through the troubles of this particular life. And even though you have not met Jesus in the way that Peter and John and the 12 met Jesus, you have been convinced by the Holy Spirit of the testimony of the disciples through what was written down in the Holy Bible, as John wrote. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing have life in his name. Truly blessed are you. Truly blessed are you who have not seen and yet have believed. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.